Yeah, you laughed at that one.
I really did. And then he changed it to flashes.
I know he did say flashes to begin with, but the sad part was that he got the laugh out of you.
Yes.
And so then he should have just been like, that's exactly what I said was flashes.
He should have just, when you feel the heat, keep dancing, right?
That's right. I mean, you had fun with it.
But I will say flashes does make sense because you could put him in with guys like Justin Fields. You could put him in with guys like Russell Wilson.
I'm worried flashes is just like, it's like half the league, though, is the problem.
That's probably fair. Like, you could put Trevor in that.
You put so many people in the flashes category. Baker Mayfield, as great as he is, like, he could, anyone from up to as great as Baker is, all the way down to someone as bad as Joe Flacco, probably falls into the flashes category.
I think this does beg the question of, should a quarterback tier be so specific? Like, with a danger zone, you knew exactly what I was talking about. With potentially washed, you knew exactly what I was referring to.
Off the air yesterday, when I said, quarterbacks that wear two gloves that also stink, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
So, or is it you can lump quarterbacks in who we don't think are in the same category for some reason?
I always like if you can make two or three guys together, and then it's something very specific to those two or three. For instance, like if I did quarterbacks that if you thought they were if they were 6'5", they'd be awesome, and it was Baker Mayfield, and it was Tua in that group, and basically all the short quarterbacks that we think are meh.
Kyler.
Yeah, Kyler's in there. The one we kind of think is like good to grit, you know, whatever. But then if they were 6'5", oh boy, they'd be Peyton Manning.
And would you put Dylan Gabriel?
No.
I mean, I think the consensus is if he was 6'5", he would have been higher drafted. Or maybe he actually would have been worth a third round pick.
Also, people coming at me thinking it's my list, by the way, and wanting me to play Shedeur Sanders in certain spots is really interesting. Like, how'd you come up with the idea to put just Joe Flacco?
What do you mean?
Well, because the Browns have four quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You had to pick one to represent the Browns. How'd you come up with Joe Flacco?
He's just the guy that I think is going to start week one.
I mean, I think that too. I feel like most people that would make this list would also make Joe Flacco in there, but I didn't know if you had any extra layer of thought there.
So I thought about putting all four quarterbacks in, but I thought, like, if the nicest thing I can say is you're potentially washed, this could get really insulting very quickly in a way that I just...
Well, if you put four of them in there and they're all four bad things, people might have thought you just made the list to make fun of the Browns quarterbacks.
Yes. And which
is the right call by you.
It should be made fun of. But, like, all right, Dylan Gabriel and Kenny Pickett are going in the GTFOH category. There's just no other way that they're not going to go in that tier, right? Because why did you draft one with a third round pick and why is the other one even here?
Yeah.
Is where my opinion is. Shedeur would have been the toughest one to tier because I don't think there is a Shedeur tier yet.
We would have had to create one.
Unless it was like the ultimate lotto ticket category.
You could have called him an Instagram athlete like you did last week. That would have been a funny tier.
I meant that as a nice thing.
And it would be a nice thing in the tiers as well.
And anyone that went Cosby
anyone that,
there.
Anyone that comes in. I went Cosby.
It would have been a nice thing as well.
The Jello.
Moblin saying, nice guy.
Never go.
I think that's
go.
Meaner than potentially washed.
Like, oh, the nice guy category? Nice,
yeah, because when you say, oh, hey.
That's kind of funny, though.
When you get set up with somebody and they're like, okay, what can you tell me about them? Oh, they're so nice.
I don't know, man. I'm 36. Well, and at this point, if I was setting up somebody, I'd probably lead with nice guy.
Yeah, but that's not what you want to hear if you want to date somebody,
not
right?
Not when you're like maybe 24 or 25, but I think at like 36, 35, the ages that we're at now, I feel like you lead with nice guy. I feel like that's all they're looking for.
No, I don't think so. No. You want to hear he's tall, great eyes, great something. Heard great things about them in certain circumstances.
Max going on a date, I'm leading with nice guy.
I still don't think that's a compliment.
I think it's a very nice thing to say about somebody. I think it's a good thing to say about somebody.
But the problem is when...
Nice guy, trustworthy.
It can't be the lead.
It's a good thing, like, two or three rungs down, but, yes. Like, if that's what you're leading with, then, not great.
By the way, incredibly successful. Great eyes.
Incredibly successful probably
nice
just means
guy.
Workaholic. Nice eyes is just... That's just a gift from the heavens. That's all that is.
We're both nice eye guys. Come
that's,
on
that's
now.
All. That's all that. That's just a gift from the heavens.
I mean, we're taking that for granted. It plays. The eyes play.
I think calling Joe Flacco a nice guy, from the athletic standpoint, I think you're right. From the dating standpoint, we can argue a different time. But from the athletic standpoint, I think you're right. If you put someone in the nice guy category, you definitely mean to insult them.
So we also have Radu asking, is Kenny in the GTFOH tier? You know he is.
Oh, I thought he meant Ken Carmen for a second. I was like, no, he's in the non-manly tier after what happened this morning.
I kind of want to get back to the Shedeur thing. What tier would you put Shedeur in? Because it can't be up against starters because that's not fair.
Potential out the ass category.
All right.
It's a good category.
I don't know that I would agree. That, like, potential out the tookest to me is like a Trevor Lawrence, like a guy that, like, was taken with a number one pick and number five, Justin Fields, potential out the tookest, right? Shador.
Wait, Justin Fields has more potential at this point than Shador does?
I mean, one of them's a clear-cut starter. The other was a fifth-round pick.
I don't know that Justin Fields is long for the game. If you were to tell me, make a bet on who has a better career from this point moving forward, Justin Fields or Shador Sanders, I would put my money with Shador Sanders.
I promise this is not an attempt to troll. But I think if you put up 32 GMs and said who has more potential, Shador or Fields, I'll even go one step further. Who has more potential? And this is what, and maybe this is draftism. I'm now giving you an out. Zach Wilson or Shador Sanders? I think there's going to be more people who bet on Zach Wilson than Shador.
I'm not one of those people. Zach Wilson over Shador?
I'm not saying I believe that, but the way the NFL thinks, yeah, he's a fifth round pick. And by the way,
yeah, even, but Zach Wilson, come
you,
on.
Even if you think he was the 33rd pick, worthy of a second round pick.
I think Shador being in the potential category is that's a nice category to put him. That is not anointing him in any sort of way. That's also not giving him any sort of a declarative statement. It's just saying there's potential there.
I think it's out the wazoo that I think.
Well, that's
is
the fun part of it all. Yeah.
Potential up to his chest. What about that?
Doesn't hit the same way. We still got to make some people interested in the thing.
Potential
the same
up to
way.
His ears.
Yeah, whatever you want to phrase it as.
Yeah.
Whatever you come up with.
What if it was like potential, but not that much potential?
Funny. I like it.
All right.
Funny. I like it. Yeah. Right. Still a little insulting, but insulting enough.
216-474-0092. All right. We're getting your Joe Flacco submissions there. We've got nice guy. We've got flashes. Some are saying flashers. What tier would you put each Browns quarterback? You know where I've got Kenny Pickett and Dylan Gabriel, which is in the most insulting one, which is why am I even talking about you?
Yeah, we're there together.
All right, so we got Shador. All right, I don't understand why Joe Burrow gets a pass.
So I noticed you used the 32 out of 32, and that's because we were talking to our buddy Adam earlier today, and he was like, he was mad about your Jalen Hurts versus Joe Burrow discussion. And he said 32 out of 32 GMs would take Joe Burrow over Jalen Hurts. And I don't have a disagreement at all. I'm not on your side here when it comes to Jalen Hurts versus Joe Burrow. I think Joe Burrow is a much better quarterback than Jalen Hurts, but you weren't rage baiting here. You believe in Jalen Hurts in a way.
I do. Well, and I'll spell out here, but I think
this is the most controversial take of the tier system,
which is wild to me because I said he was near elite. Like I do think Joe is a top seven quarterback still. And if you watch him, he's an incredibly watchable quarterback. Like Joe plays the position the way you want to. There's elements of Joe Montana there. There's elements of Brady, and there's elements of wow throws and sexy moves. And there's elements of just a fierce quarterback who can stand in the pocket. Like there's toughness. Like Joe is what I think a lot of people want as a quarterback.
Right.
At some point though, there's this push and pull of team success in the regular season and postseason and your stats. Joe has put up gaudy stats all of the last 3 years, actually most of his time in the NFL. But
yeah, I mean, last year he led the NFL in completions, attempts, pass yards, and passing touchdowns.
But two of the last 3 years, his team has just not been any good. And that includes, like, and by the way, two of the last 3 years, so most of this, by the way, was graded on like a attempt to try and put 2 to 3 years of perspective on it. Whereas Jalen, 3 years ago, outplayed Pat Mahomes in the Super Bowl. This year, he outplayed Pat Mahomes in the Super Bowl. The stats aren't sexy, but all the guy has done has been the face of teams that won in the regular season and the postseason to a degree that is historic the way he has led the Eagles on this run. It's the greatest run. The last 3 years, last 4 years are the greatest run of Philadelphia Eagles football in terms of their pure dominance in the postseason. And I kind of feel like that should matter as much as, well, the stats look real sexy.
So PFF came out a couple weeks ago, and they had their positional groups and what they liked and didn't like from each team. And they had the Eagles as the number one team in the NFL from a whole team aspect. And they asked for the weaknesses. And then the weaknesses, they said Jalen Hurts was the weakness of that team. Now, I think that goes a little bit too far. But what I think what they're trying to display there is that in people's eyes, he is much closer to Brock Purdy than he is to Joe Burrow.
But so I think that's fair, by the way. I think that's how people view him. We're acting as if Joe Burrow doesn't have the best wide receiver in the game next to him, and probably the best number two receiver in the game in T. Higgins.
No, yeah, Joe Burrow's what happens when you have, and it's not everything, because his offensive line isn't the greatest in the world, but he's the product of what happens when you have a really talented quarterback and you have the skill position players to match.
But I just think at some point, like, we are punishing Jalen because he's surrounded by great players as if... That Jalen, like, I the one
here's
exercise.
Here's what I think hurt Jalen, okay? Here's what I think hurt Jalen. Mm-hmm. I think the Packers playoff game hurt him when he threw for 130 yards. I think the Rams playoff game after that when he threw for 128 yards. And he didn't have a touchdown thrown that entire game. I think those are the type of things that hurt Jalen. Now, he was great in the NFC title game, and he was great in the Super Bowl, right? And that should outweigh a lot of what happened in the first two rounds.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of people looked at those two games, and they looked at really the whole stretch of work leading up to that, and they're just left a lot to be desired as Jalen Hurts being the one that put everything on his back.
But it's interesting, like, because I think one of the common practices, and I think it's fair, is, well, if you put Jalen in Cincinnati and Joe in Philly, what does it look like?
Yeah.
Okay, but that's a hypothetical exercise. Like, at some point, we are diminishing what Jalen has accomplished. And listen, last year, if I'd put him as the fourth best quarterback or top four quarterback, it wouldn't have been fair because he hadn't aspired to that level of greatness where team success should matter in the postseason or regular season as much as the stats. But at some point, like, they're opposite ends of the spectrum. And I think it's unfair to Jalen to just discredit what he does, which is what I think there are two quarterbacks who gets discredited for their success more than anyone, and they're opposite ends of the spectrum. It's Jalen Hurts and it's Dak Prescott. And I think Joe gets a pass. And so listen, do I think the defense is abhorrent? Yes. I heard somebody, Adam, called it
the defense is awful.
A historically bad defense. I actually disagree with that. It wasn't the worst defense in the NFL last year, even if it was pretty terrible. But the idea is, okay, you had success early. And I think for a lot of people, they just anointed Joe and have never questioned it since, and I think that's fake. I think that's wrong.
I do think a lot of Jalen Hurts' entry point into this is a lot of the reason why he doesn't get a lot of people coming around when you're taking him in the second round. Yeah, I do think that's something that he's tried to overcome and has to overcome. I think it's more like I'm always fascinated by this because I like Brock Purdy way more than you do. But Brock Purdy would be what you're describing with Jalen Hurts in many ways. But you can see the difference for Brock Purdy's success. But with Jalen Hurts, you're having a hard time here.
Well, the difference is Brock has been progressively worse over the last couple of years, and the team's success has faded. The last 3 years, there's been no diminishing what the Eagles have done. And I think Jalen is
2 years ago, he was in the Super Bowl, though. Last year didn't go well.
I think Jalen, as a runner, is massively underrated. Like, I think Jalen is one of the best running quarterbacks in the NFL, and I think that makes up for deficits because he's not Joe Burrow as a passer.
Okay. I agree with you. I think Jalen Hurts is a very good runner. I look at Joe Burrow and I look at some of what he has been able to do. I do think you could put him on any team and I think you'd have success. I think Joe Burrow has gotten better with each passing year, and I don't think it's nearly enough credit. Career highest touchdown rate, career lowest interception rate. The man threw like 6 picks last year, career best accuracy rate. Like, he's finding a way to get better within these games. But it's an interesting convo where the Bengals go from here if he gets injured again, because I'd start to worry about his injury health more than anything.
216-474-0092. Does Joe Burrow get a complete pass from you for the last 3 years and really the last 2 years with injuries and a lack of playoff appearances by the Bengals? An anniversary Cleveland fans would rather forget in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.